Son of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have entered into pre-Lent, for Lent, sometimes it's called, these three Sundays and their accompanying weeks, which give us an opportunity to prepare for the onset of Lent, which begins on Ash Wednesday. We will celebrate, of course, Ash Wednesday here in the evening with a Mass in which you can participate and to which you can invite all your friends. We have good examples of how important Holy Church considers these Sundays to be. For example, if you have your hand missals, some of you might see printed right along with the Sunday at the top where the title of the Sunday is. It might even say that there's a Roman Station Church that's assigned to these Sundays. Septuagesima, Sexagesima, Quinquagesima. We have three station churches. St. Lawrence outside the walls, St. Paul's outside the walls, and then St. Peter. St. Peter's, of course, these are in ascending importance, aren't they? Today, for Sexagesima, we have a very interesting liturgical factoid. Today we actually mention the apostle to the Gentiles, St. Paul, when we have the Mass at St. Paul's outside the walls. Very rarely do we have such a clear indication in the orations for the Mass of the connection of the place where the oration was originally said, at St. Paul's outside the walls. Remember how that these Mass formularies go way, way back to probably even before St. Gregory the Great, who died in the early 7th century. I think he died in 604. Now, these Sundays were very important in those days because they were preparing to bring new converts into the church. They were introducing these prospective converts, these catechumens, into what it is they might be getting into. And so sometimes the readings, the texts of these Masses are a little tough. They're very somber. And the places themselves, they're reminding them that, you know, they have the first one at St. Lawrence outside the walls, where Lawrence was burned alive on an iron grate. They have the next Mass at the place where Paul was beheaded after reading about all the adventures that he had, about how many persecution that he experienced and the suffering and the difficulties, the challenges that he had to constantly face. And finally, the thorn in his side, the thorn in his flesh that God gave him, the angel of Satan that came to beat him, and Paul begged the Lord to have him take the suffering away. And at the end of the reading, Paul says, "Your grace is sufficient for me." Remember, I mentioned we can ask for things, but then once we've asked and we received an answer from God, we have to be content and work with the answer that we've been given. So this period of for Lent teaches us, just as it was to teach those early converts, to ask ourselves always the question, to review always the question, what am I getting into in this Christian life of ours? What is this all about? What have I signed on to? It's an important question to ask each and every day. It's important to know who we are. Otherwise, we can't make the proper decisions. We can't go about life in a Christian way. We go about life in some other way. We always have to review, what is it? What have I gotten myself into? It's a good question to ask every day. Now, one of the things that we can do to prepare for the answering of that question, the asking and the answering of that question, is to review well the Word of God. Remember, Christ is in every word of Scripture. When you review the Word of God, you enter into an intimate relationship with our Lord. Now, today we have the parable of the seed and the sower. You all know this parable. Christ describes the sower who goes out and throws seeds all over the place. Some of them fall on good terrain. Some of them are gobbled up by birds. Some of them grow up and get burned by the sun. Others, they can't put down roots. Others, they do put down roots, and they produce good fruit. Now, fathers of the church struggled with the question, why does the sower just throw seed everywhere? I mean, doesn't it make sense if you've got seed to put it where you think it's going to grow? Well, this is one of the things about how magnificent and how loving our God is. He doesn't spare the seed. He's not stingy with it. He throws it everywhere, everywhere, to give the possibility to even those whose souls may be somewhat barren, to give them a chance to allow the terrain to allow them to change their, to make their terrain more friendly, more accepting to the Word of God. You know, the difference in how those plants grow up is the terrain. There's also the enemy too, the enemy birds, right? The enemy who he describes as Satan that comes along and destroys the Word in their heart. They don't defend the Word. They don't defend the seed that is in them, and so it gets gobbled up and they fall away. There are two points here. God is not stingy. He gives everybody the opportunity. But, on the other hand, not all the seeds make it. And we have a great deal to say about our terrain in receiving the Word of God. There are also, you know, some plants that grow up, and they look okay, and they seem to be doing all right, but they don't bear, in the final analysis, they don't bear any fruit. They grow up together with those ones that do bear fruit, but they don't bear fruit. They look pretty good until the actual reckoning, until the actual harvest comes. There is another parable of the Lord. Remember, the man has a wheat field, and an enemy comes and sows weeds in along with the wheat. And the master of the field says, let these two things grow up side by side. And at the end, we will separate the weeds from the wheat, and the weeds will be gathered into bundles to be burned, and the wheat will be gathered into the storage room. Will be gathered into heaven or thrown into hell to be burned. We have those people who are weeds. It's just the way it is. They haven't borne fruit. They've grown up. They look pretty good until the harvest time, and then we discover that they don't bear fruit. Well, we have to remember that not all seeds make it. And a plant that is not fruitful and is in the wrong place is a weed. And the Lord will take care of those things. We have our responsibility to keep from falling away, to keep from allowing ourselves to be burned up by the sun, as some of the plants were. They don't put down deep enough roots, and so when the heat comes, they dry up and so forth. We have to, the difference that between one person and another is the terrain. And we have a lot to say about what kind of terrain we're going to have. We can work on our terrain. We can make it more accepting to the seeds that the Lord wants to plant on us, the Word that He wants to plant, His own presence in our lives. So how do we keep from falling away or getting burned up or getting gobbled up by the enemy? How do we become fruitful as Christians? Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church has an interesting suggestion based on this very parable that we're hearing today. And I'll quote from paragraph 2707. Christians owe it to themselves to develop the desire to meditate regularly, lest they come to resemble the three first kinds of soil in the parable of the sower. So here's the Catechism of the Catholic Church acknowledging that we have the soil, and we can do something about it. And what we are encouraged to do about it is to meditate regularly if we want to avoid being like the bad terrain. You know, it isn't enough to read something in Holy Writ and just let it go in one ear and out the other, in one eye and out the other. The same thing goes also for your orations at Holy Mass and the readings at Holy Mass. There are times when we will, because it's so important, we will also read the readings for you in the vernacular here at these Sunday Masses, because today the readings were really quite long. I skipped over that step and went straight into it because there's bad weather and we have another Mass coming behind us, so we have limited time together. But it is my desire that the word that you hear be fruitful in you. And I have a responsibility to make it fruitful in you. For example, just before I say the gospel reading, I have to pray that God will cleanse my mouth. There's the image of the angel coming with a hot coal to purify my mouth so that what I can say will be from God. And then the other thing that he says, that may God be in my heart and on my lips, that I may worthily and in a competent way announce his good news, announce his gospel. So I pray that what I do from my point of view, I'm taking care of my responsibility. Well, you also have a responsibility. If I ask God to help me to proclaim well the word of God, then you, for your part, should take a moment before hearing the word of God to ask God to make you a good recipient of that word, to be good terrain. Oh, God, help me to understand in this reading I am about to hear that which you know is important for my life. Remember, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need. He knows how to plant the word in us. He knows how to give the seed to the terrain of our soul. But we have to be open, good recipients. We have to have dug a little bit and prepared and watered and make that terrain just right. Well, we do that by asking God to help us receive the word well. And you can make an active choice of will before there is an oration of Holy Mass. These collects that we sing, you're seeing them in your book, you see them on the sheet that you might pick up on the way in. But you pick that thing up and then don't look at it anymore? You want to know, or is your Latin so good that you can just hear it and understand it? I suggest that maybe there are one or two people in the room, maybe one person in the room who can do that. Every single word of Holy Mass is Christ speaking. He is the high priest. And by our baptism, we participate in these holy rites. Our gestures become his gestures. Our words become his words. What we do here, what we sing, how we comport ourselves is Christ the high priest in action offering worship back to the Father. Every word sung at Mass is a sacrifice being raised back up to the Father. And we are enabled to participate in this by our baptism. And what Holy Church wants from us is our participation in these rites in what the Second Vatican Council in Sacrum Sanctum Concilium described as full, conscious, and active participation. Now, there might be some people out there who, I don't know, have a kind of a knee-jerk reaction and start, you know, roll their eyes, Second Vatican Council, you say, I don't like the Second Vatican Council. Well, this kind of stuff was actually being talked about decades before the Second Vatican Council. Full, conscious, and active participation. And making an act of will. It's almost as if you, with your act of will, are reaching out with your mind, almost as if they're hands. To put your hands out and grasp on to everything that God is trying to give you in Holy Mass. Ask God to help you understand, what is it in this prayer that Father is about to sing that I am supposed to receive and make part of who I am in my participation in this holy rite? What is there in this reading that I am supposed to hear, that's supposed to take root in me? Ask God before the gospel, before the prayers. Another thing that you can do is, not only just before the gospel and before the prayers, in this sacred building, in this building which is a big sacramental, this holy space that we're in, you can go home after Mass and later in the day pick up that hand missal or pick up that resource or look it up online or do whatever you and review the readings and the prayers that we had. You can do that today. You can do that on Monday. You can do that on a Tuesday. And then when Wednesday rolls around, you can look up the prayers for next Sunday and start preparing on Wednesday for Quinquagesima Sunday, the last of the four Lent Sundays, before we move into Ash Wednesday. You can start reviewing in the middle of the week what you're going to hear, so that when you come in here, you can be even more receptive to what you're going to get, and then review it on that Sunday, and then that Monday following, and that Tuesday, and then Wednesday starting again, in this constant, beautiful rhythm of you with the prayers of Holy Church. God trying to give you everything that you need, because we have gotten ourselves into the Christian experience, the Christian character, the Christian identity. What have we gotten ourselves into? It takes some grit. It takes work. It takes effort to be a good Christian in this world. It isn't just daisies and puppies and beds of roses and so forth. You go back and look at what Paul experienced, and then his attitude at the end. My grace, Paul at the end, after describing all of these experiences, after his adventures and the thorn and the beatings and everything, he says at the end of that long reading, that first reading, my grace is sufficient for you, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. The strength of Christ may dwell in me. You have to let Christ dwell in you before he can be your strength. And so prepare well your terrain. Be conscious, active, will your participation. Unite yourselves, heart, mind, and soul, to every word and gesture of Holy Mass. By your baptism, you have a priesthood of your own that allows you to join your sacrifices and your petitions to what's going on up here in a unique, a privileged, what a gift it is that we've been given.